innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, that's the way it goes around here.
Still, it would be weird if someone, you know, came to you with this request.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out if you help them, you are putting yourself and your freedom at risk.
Yeah.
And there are consequences, it seems, past that, Tommy. But one, it's one thing to help someone on the run.
Yeah.
But one man is here to tell us, if he even suspects something is off, he's done with you.
Guy's a dick.
Done with you. Well, no, let him speak.
Okay, I won't judge him. I won't judge this dick.
Thank you. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago, we shared with you a story of a 56-year-old man from Batavia who was arrested after police say he hid someone from the cops on his property.
So you're harboring a fugitive, I guess?
That was the charge. Okay, well, the story says, I'm sorry, it said he allowed someone facing several charges to live on his property.
To chill.
Yes, we don't know what those charges were.
Okay.
And it doesn't say in the story that the 56-year-old man who was arrested for hiding this person or letting him live on the property had anything to do with the initial crimes. Yet, the man is being charged with, as you said, hindering prosecution for harboring a fugitive. And he will have his own charges now to answer for in court.
Or is he going to hide?
Where is he going?
Yeah.
When we had this initial discussion, we talked about who, if anyone, you would be willing to hide at your place. And Tommy, out of everyone in this room, you seem the most open to taking in someone hiding from the cops.
Yeah.
Which is funny because you did not consider your wife at all when we had this discussion.
When I think of these things, I think of when I lived by myself in Webster, where I had a whole house.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of spaces to hide.
Oh, absolutely.
No, actually, there was no space to hide because every room was empty.
Oh, true.
Freeze! This is Tammy curled up in a ball in the middle of the floor. Don't move! It's like a Tyrannosaurus!
But I even told guys, you know, if you're having problems, I got a back room. You want to hang out for a little bit from the old lady or whatever.
Tommy also didn't consider what a clean freak he is and how you would call the cops the second they left a dirty dish at the sink.
That would be an issue. Quick.
But most people who called the show when we had this discussion said they would not consider hiding someone hiding from the cops.
Yeah.
A letter we have this morning takes it a step further.
What are they saying?
Well, this man not only doesn't want you on his property, he doesn't want you in his life.
So even before you got a trial, he's going to tap out?
Actual physical letters sent through the mail. Telling us we suck. Wanting us arrested this week.
Roger.
Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
Taking in someone hiding from the police makes you a criminal, and I cannot believe I'm hearing multiple people on your show not only say they would do it, but give tips on the easiest ways to get away with it. That should be a crime, and you should be arrested. The moment I find out someone I know committed a crime, that's the moment I remove that person from my life. You are the company you keep, and I am not a criminal. So why would I associate with criminals? Have you ever stopped to think that the reason so many people are willing to do illegal things is because they know they won't lose their support system, that their friends and family standing by them makes them feel invincible, and that everything will be okay? It's not okay. It's easy to not break the law with very few exceptions. There is no valid reason why you broke the law. If you want to be a criminal, join a gang. I'm sure they love to have you hang around and hear your stories. Well, I don't. Sincerely, Blake.
All right. Can we start off topic real quick?
Yeah.
His name's Blake.
Yes.
We assume that most of the hate letters we get are from the older set.
On account of
the stamp and the mail and everything. Blake's not an older guy's name, is it?
Oh, Blake Sheldon's. He's 50.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but he don't
an
send
older Blake.
He don't send letters through the mail.
No.
That's one of his songs. I don't send letters through the mail.
I don't send letters through the mail. I'll just call you up and punch you right in your face, son.
Through the phone?
Right through the phone.
Punch you through the phone is my second favorite Blake
Punch
Sheldon
song. You through the phone. That's the way I don't know. Push me too far.
Remember when Roosevelt? No.
I'd punch you in the face, but my legs don't work.
How would you need your legs to punch him in the face?
No, I had to get over to punch him.
Is Blake Shelton the oldest Blake we could think of?
He's the only Blake I know.
So
there's got to be some baseball player named Blake.
Why would you go baseball player?
Blake sounds like a guy that plays minor league baseball.
Okay, fair enough. Look, I guess what I'm saying is either this is the world's oldest Blake, or we now have people under the age of 60 writing us letters with stamps on.
Okay.
Okay. That aside, going back to the contents of the actual letter, Blake says, if you are a criminal, you are no friend of his.
Yeah.
Is that unreasonable?
I think that's a little unreasonable. I've known people that have committed crimes that have been friends with him.
Okay, but you are a unique person.
Why so? I have loose morals. I have low standards.
I love how you say, how so? The thing you just said, that's how so. The quote you just gave into a microphone.
No, but I mean, everybody's got, every guy's got that buddy.
I don't think they do. Look, I know we do, but we were also in a very weird world for a long time. All we still are.
Yeah.
I mean, Kimmy, if you're a criminal, I am done being your friend, an unreasonable take from somebody.
I think for some people, it depends on the type of criminal.
Okay.
Like, I think
the crime.
I think, like, theft, you're a little bit. You may be a little bit more hesitant to help that guy out because you're. It depends on if you see yourself being a victim of that crime.
Oh, that's a good take.
And I think that that's where you may draw the line in terms of like keeping that person around.
So if you think that person could do this to you,
yes.
You are no longer their friend.
Or you know that they've done it to somebody
crime.
You know.
Well, no one could embezzle from me.
They could.
Do you know what embezzling
is? Well, I mean, you're just stealing money.
Okay.
I mean, everybody's got some coin or pull a move or get you to like sign here and now you're on the hook for whatever I just stole.
Well, there's a difference between throwing a mask over your face, going into a bank with a gun.
I guess that's violent.
You know, moving something to another bank.
So let's say you found out one of your buddies ran a Ponzi scheme.
Okay.
Where you weren't even a victim. You didn't even know the victims. He was doing this thing on the side, built these people out of, you know, let's say $800,000.
Okay.
And he's guilty of that.
Yeah.
Are you done with that guy?
I think that would bother me more than a violent crime where there was a problem with somebody else. Like if it was like, you know, mutual, like we hate each other, something's going
to
happen here.
Something, build up to it. Or I think you maybe be more willing to look past a crime or help a guy out who's accused of something where you feel like it was a mistake.
But you're more accepting to violence than
certain types of violence.
Mm.
Only because like a Ponzi scheme, like you, that could be people's life savings that he just.
Okay, that could have been that guy's face he just ruined.
Okay, sure, but I mean, you've survived. Like with this idea, and don't get me wrong, I am not completely on Blake's side, but I'm trying to look at it from both sides here. There are folks who take law and order very seriously.
Yes.
How are you going to look at someone who has a strong sense of right and wrong and tell them, no, you need to include this person who did wrong in your life? It was the decision that person made that got them there.
Yeah.
He's not saying he'd disown a gay child. He's not saying he'd avoid a certain race or ethnicity.
I understand.
In his defense, he is saying, you made a choice that has now alerted me you should not be a part of my life.
Well, he's a black and white kind of guy. Oh, there's no gray area.
Yeah.
But I always assume those people have lived a very sheltered life that have never experienced or known anybody that's going through some stuff.
Like you feel like you don't have a
life experience.
A personal experience, yeah.
Like nobody gets there on their own. You know what I mean? Things happen. Some things, people make bad decisions for whatever reasons. I'm not justifying it, but there's a reason why they got there.
Okay.
It just didn't happen like a miracle. So for this guy to just go, I'm done with you, has never really experienced that and is kind of a dick.
Now, here's the thing. I believe what you just said. We're on the same page. That being said, I also know people who have had lots of people in their life screw up, and that's what caused them to draw this line in the sand. I want no part of what I experienced in the past.
Okay. All right.
Okay. With all of that,
all right.
With Blake saying, anybody I know that commits a crime is no longer a friend of mine, there is a fly in the ointment of the logic that Blake uses.
What's the fly?
When do you decide to cut this criminal out of your life?
Because he sounds like as soon as he hears a rumor, he's out.
Well, that's just it. Because the story that inspired this letter out in Batavia, the 56-year-old man arrested for letting a friend crash when police were looking for him, the guy who he was allowing to stay on his property was not convicted.
He hadn't been to court yet, right?
Yes, he's just facing charges.
Right.
So is a guy like Blake out the second his friend is accused of a crime?
Sounds like it to me.
And what if they didn't do it?
Right. Hey, let's say they're found out. Yeah, it didn't happen.
Guilty.
Now what?
I mean, I guess the argument... You can make the argument, if you're asking to hide from the cops at my house, that's a pretty
point.
Big red flag.
But I could see being scared.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't want to face anything, because you don't know if they'll find you guilty, even if, like, let's say you can't prove your innocence. You don't feel like you could prove your innocence?
Well, you're innocent until proven guilty. You don't have to prove your innocence. They have to prove your guilt.
Well, but you're scared.
That's how
you're scared of the process.
I only need one juror to flip, man.
Are you doing mob movies again?
No.
Okay. Because I can see your ankles. I've never seen a mobster's ankles.
Well, yeah, a little shin skin.
Longer socks is what I'm asking for. Now, I like, because I know there are people listening that think the way Blake does.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I guess my question is, 252-WCMF, does there have to be a conviction? Is it simply an allegation? Does that change based on the person who is accused of the crime?
I think most people, as soon as they hear what they're accused of, think that person's guilty.
Oh, no, there's studies that have been done that prove that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you hear it on the news, right? Somebody got busted for something, but they haven't been to court yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's done.
Guilty or not, it's a situation you don't want to be associated with, potentially. Mm. So, based on the accusation, you might be like, I want no part of this. I don't want to be seen on either side.
That's another interesting angle, right? Because there's having sympathy for someone you care about, but not wanting to be associated with certain types of crime.
Okay.
Because, look, man, you can sit here and say, you know, I'm open-minded and are going to give someone a chance, but there are some crimes.
Oh, sure.
So, that your friends can be accused of where you are done immediately.
Yes, absolutely, because they're so heinous.
Yes.
That I don't want that around me. Because it puts me in danger, puts my family in danger. Yeah, I understand.
Oh, I'm not even talking danger. I'm talking something like, let's say he's accused of some. No, I don't even want to say it out loud. I'm talking just reputation.
Oh,
that you associating with that person who is simply accused of this crime.
See, I never used to think like that till I got older. I don't think you did either.
No, there are two or three that I could think of that don't even involve like someone coming after me where I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. You got the accusation. I can't. No.
Oh, all right.
Nope. No, thank
I always
you.
Hung with those people.
No, thank you. No, I don't think you did.
Well, it depends what you're talking about.
I don't want to say it.
All right. I mean, sounds heinous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds pretty heinous, guys. You won't say it out loud. All That's right. what we'll go with.
I mean, I have a level of heinous, I guess.
Okay. You know, what the other thing that Blake does not consider in this
Blake.
Letter is who could have committed these crimes. Because in the initial story, the guy from Batavia who was arrested for letting someone live on the property, blah, blah, blah. We didn't know his relationship to the person who was there.
Yeah.
Could you cut your kids out of your life if
that
they were accused
really
of
crime?
That would be like, that would think the toughest person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super. I mean, that would have to be beyond heinous to cut your kid out.
I mean, we did talk the other day about how mom always stands by their
kids.
Son. Yeah, that 19-year-old firefighter who was accused of setting that fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mom came out and defended him, and you went off on mom for doing it. Mm-hmm. You're sitting here today going, no, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
You're arguing against yourself for 3 days.
Well, it was just that mom standing up for you thing look weak.
Okay. Day. Not you, though. Not you standing up for
no,
me.
No.
Are mothers more likely to hide their kids than their fathers would be?
I don't know.
I bet you. I would think they're both.
Yeah, because
you
want to
protect your kid.
Dads also know sometimes what they got away with and how lucky they were. So
yeah, dad's
dad may be sometimes a little bit more understanding of how you got in that position in the first
place.
She's
right. All dads got dirt.
No.
All dads got dirt.
I think that's how my dad would have looked at it.
And that boy is dirty.
But there's another aspect of that. I get what you're saying, Kimmy. I guess like. Would you agree men are more likely to be risk takers than women?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, Kimmy, you've never imagined anything that could put you in jail?
No.
Okay.
Not personally.
And you've never imagined doing anything that could put you in jail?
No.
I can't say that for myself.
Oh, I know. I should have gone to jail.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm saying, like, let's say my daughter is accused of something, right, as she's older. And I know that if I let her live with me, I could be going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I've already thought that through, like in previous situations, where I know my wife has never had that thought.
I think
I would be more likely to hide my kid.
You'd be more sympathetic.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Well, no, because I don't it's a different reason.
Okay.
Like, it's not sympathy.
Mm.
I am willing to take the risk where even though my wife is just as sympathetic, she may not be willing to
she's
do that.
She's not even considering the risk.
Because she's never even considered it in her life.
So I had a cousin that was in the Navy when I was a little kid when we lived in New Jersey. And he was stationed out of Bayonne, right there at the port.
Sure.
He constantly went AWOL from the Navy. And he always showed up at our house in New Jersey. I'm like a little kid.
Wait, from Bayonne? Oh,
New Jersey.
Sorry, yeah.
So it's like North Jersey.
Home of Chuck Wepner. No big deal.
Look at that. So he'd show up and I go, hey, cousin's here. You know, I was at school when I was a little kid. So my mother would feed him dinner and my dad would pack him up in a car and take him back down to the base. Which is like, but they would feed him, they'd take care of him, and then they would drive him back to the base. But like, but my father was always, I don't respect him. But he kind of gave him a pass. And the kid did it like multiple times before he got like.
Well, yeah, because you kept feeding him. He's like a cat.
Right. And he got a dishonorable discharge, I think, out of it. Yeah, but it was Vietnam. A lot of guys got that, I'm guessing.
Okay.
So, but my father was like this law and order. He served in the Navy. Like, he would never tolerate that if he saw it in the news. But when the kid showed up, put a face on it, you know, I got to help the kid out.
You know what I mean?
Like, he turned.
And to your point, I think that, you know, wraps up this whole letter in a nice little bow. Because, like, Blake here, I get the impression, like you said before, he may be a little sheltered.
Yeah.
And I also get the impression him having this take, like, if you commit a crime, you're not a friend of mine ever again. that he's never been put in this situation.
Right, if it shows up at his door,
exactly.
It might be a different situation. Kind of like my old man. Well, you know, you deserted your post. But hey, Alan, you want some ribs?
But it could also go the other way, right? Where you think you're going to be this cool buddy, family member, whatever, and then when you are faced with the potential consequences of having them there, you know what? Yeah. I take it back.
You can't bring that axe in. It's got blood all over it. You're going to get it on the carpet.
Let's take a break.
All right.
The scene of a bar can make or break it.
Sure.
Right? Like what kind of theme it is, the decor. It will also give you the type of idea, the type of people who will be inside.
Yeah, yeah, the kind of night you're going to be in for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because this type of bar was very popular, Tommy, when you were coming of age.
Ooh, nice.
And it's been gone away for a little while.
That's when drinking was drinking.
It's really popular where he came from, if this is the same place I'm thinking
of. Oh, it wasn't just Florida.
Florida style?
This was national, Kenny. Oh. There
right,
was
but
a
I think
run.
People felt like they were in Florida when they went to one of these.
You're right.
Okay.
But guess what?
What?
It's back, baby.
Nice.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. Tommy, how's about a trip down to the Tiki Bar?
Oh, the old Tiki Bar.
Easy Sailor Tiki is currently under construction on Park Avenue in the city of Rochester.
Kind of Polynesian kind of vibe.
You got it. It's a brainchild of three friends. It's scheduled to open in June. And to quote the story in the Democrat and Chronicle, Easy Sailor Tiki will have bamboo-clad cabana-style bar on one side and a banquet seating on the other. The decor will involve a lot of palm fronds. What's a palm frond?
Palm frond? What is it?
Yeah.
It's a palm tree?
It's what comes out the palm trees.
Okay.
The leaf.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And a collection of tiki memorabilia the owners have amassed over the last several years. And it sounds like they're going to do a genuine throwback tiki bar. And for those who are unaware, tiki bars were wildly popular in the U.S. in the 60s and 70s.
And then there was they had a resurgence in the 90s.
Okay.
And kind of like the time Pulp Fiction and stuff was coming out. Mm. And I remember there was a company that you could buy a tiki bar for your backyard. It was fully set up. They set it up in your backyard, prefab built for you.
Ooh.
So you'd have like the tiki torches, the whole thing. And it was a full bar. Pretty cool.
So you had that going for you.
Yes. Yeah. And there were single guys that had like tiki bar motif throughout their bachelor pack.
That's sad. That's a sad thing.
I feel like there were probably a lot of home tiki bars.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying if I'm a woman and I'm a single woman,
and you got bamboo on your walls.
Yeah, that guy's a serial.
You're in for a Polynesian night. Some delights.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
For the return of the tiki bar.
Well, you got to have your outfit ready to go.
For example,
you can't be going out to a tiki bar dressed like Saber Jamoke. You got to tiki up. You got to have a tiki look. There's a tiki look.
What is
the
tiki
Hawaiian
look?
Shirt.
What's that?
Like a Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian shirt or those loose bowling shirts that guys used to wear. Or those, what I used to call those silk cigar shirts.
Yeah.
So they're untucked.
Okay.
And they're a little bit on the long side. So it almost looks like you're wearing a dress.
Okay.
Then you would either wear like khakis or dress pants underneath them, not jeans.
No jeans.
And then dress shoes.
No jeans at a tiki bar?
No. You're going to see some exposed toes.
No.
You're getting the flip-flops.
Get out. No, she's right. There's going to be flip-flops in the tiki bar.
You're going to a tiki guy.
Step down, pop top.
That is a khakis and flip-flops kind of bar.
But you should not show up.
Like okay. All right, now he's getting mad. I don't want to see your toes. Don't show me your toes.
No, it's gross, man. I'm not going to foot night.
All right, so here's the thing. You know what kind of people you will find when you walk into a sports
every dad in the universe.
You know, you have an idea of what kind of people will be drinking in a martini bar.
Yeah.
What kind of person is drinking in a tiki bar?
A loud, vulgar man.
So it's just, this is going to be a guy scene?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes. To your point, no woman wants to walk into a tiki scene.
Well, no.
It looks like human sacrifice night.
No woman wants to walk into a single guy with bamboo on his walls. Kimmy,
it's not chick friendly.
No, I'm thinking, okay, you're going to have a whole generation.
You
want to
drink out of a skull?
Yeah, why not? How many Dr. Chan's you drinking in some very popular restaurants. You are going to have a whole new generation of people experiencing a tiki bar.
Wow.
So I think it's going to be a slightly younger crowd, especially in that area.
I mean, I am going to be curious. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. If you are of the older set, are you ready to go back to the tiki bar? If you are of the younger age, does tiki bar intrigue you?
Okay.
Because it's very possible, Kimmy, to your point, this could be a place for ladies' night. It's also possible it's jam-packed with a bunch of goober dudes.
Yes.
It's also on Park Ave, so you could have a bunch of like cool kids hanging out.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the more Instagrammable it is, the more fancy coconut drinks show up, you're going to get a younger crowd.
So I'm going to hate it.
Because you hate everything.
But when I used to go to those joints when I was a kid down in Lauderdale and stuff, there was a certain vibe, and it wasn't what you're describing now.
So you have bad memories of tiki bars.
No, I loved them. But it was fun, but it was like, it wasn't that.
Okay.
It wasn't like you were going to the mall. It was like, it was, they were kind of, they weren't seedy, but they weren't on the up and up.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No.
So there was a couple places that were like famous down in Lauderdale that like people would take vacations and go to. One was called the Mai Tai, and there was another joint down, the Golden Spike.
Okay.
They were both tiki style Polynesian lounges. Mostly men were in there drinking, big businessmen, people like that. But it was always like dank. These drinks were like fuel.
252 WCMF. We're talking about how a new tiki bar is opening in Rochester.
I'm just saying what it was, bro.
Easy Sailor Tiki is under construction currently.
Oh, she was easy.
The brainchild of three friends who probably are not having fun listening to this anymore.
I'm not saying.
Hey, they talked about your new bar on the radio. Let me turn it on. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
You're talking Florida Tiki.
I'm talking 1970s bar scene, for God's sake. Your business plan is so weak. I'm going to bury you with that.
Oh, your powerful voice in this community?
Well, that's what you're saying. Maybe you should go get a raise.
The restaurant.
The $30 an hour.
The bar, the Tiki Bar on Park Ave is scheduled to open in June. Okay. Getting away from the Tiki Bar, because, yeah, you know, a Tiki Bar is a themed bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the safest type of bar? Bar theme where you know you're going to have a good time. No matter where you are, what city, it's the easiest type of bar to walk in, relax, mm-hmm, and have a drink. Because it is not any of the places you like to drink.
No.
Tommy.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Like, you drink Stuffy.
Yeah, I do. I do. I like Stuffy.
There are rules. You have to wear a jacket. There's a room full of folks that are there trying to look better than you, but they're all old and they got weird scars and stuff.
Anywhere you feel like you could be anywhere you feel like you could be underdressed isn't going to be that place.
Yeah. I used to hate going out with him.
He hated. Yeah, every Saturday night he hated it.
Well, yeah, I didn't want
first one at the bar hating it.
Yeah, okay. Everyone was worried about you.
Stinky.
We had a dinner to make sure you didn't hurt yourself.
I didn't want to go to that dinner
because he was trying to stay home and hurt himself. All right, Kimmy, the sports bar is laid back.
Sports bar is an easy one because you could go there by yourself. There's always going to be like a game on that can distract you. Like, it's probably comfort wise a more comfortable spot to go just chill with a buddy or something.
No, I agree with you. However, there are those days where the sports bar can get really intense if you are in a bar where everyone's watching a specific game.
Yeah.
Hell, even one person.
It's kind of fun though, right?
If you're of that team.
I guess.
And you could also have one person really into a game they're watching on their own, and that makes the whole bar uncomfortable.
But I'm thinking even the menu, you know what to expect. It's all pretty much the same when it comes to a sports bar.
Okay.
Like, you just know what to expect no matter where you are.
It's family friendly. I don't think I've ever been in a sports bar where I felt, well, this is getting uncomfortable.
Not uncomfortable, just like, because Kimmy, what you're describing, I agree with you, because I love sports, right? But there are people that aren't looking for that. I just want to go, relax, not pay attention. Is it possible that the one type of bar you will always have a good time in, no matter where you are, is the chain restaurant bar?
Oh, yeah. The Applebee's.
Olive Garden, Red Lobster.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bar is rarely crowded.
Yeah.
Most of the bartenders are polite, yet not intrusive.
Mm.
It's almost always single people, but there's no pressure to talk to anybody.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's important right now that I point out the difference between a fun time and a good time. Because those bars are not fun.
No, they're functional.
Yes.
They serve a purpose.
You're not going to walk out with a big smile on your face. There's nothing remarkable that'll happen there. But it is a good time. You won't be upset leaving. Mm. And the cost is always right.
Yeah.
It's like if Purgatory had a bar.
Ooh, yeah.
It would be Applebee's.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Do you sometimes feel like, though, at the place that's more a restaurant than a bar, your bartender's a little more flustered, maybe, because they're taking care of more than just the bar?
Good call.
Like, I always feel like I'm bothering the bartender by being there.
All right, here's the key. If you're drinking just, like, bottled or draft beer,
yeah,
the Applebee's type bar is a place
to
be.
You're fine. Mm.
If you're looking to get a mixed drink, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, if you're not, you don't get
or
too complicated.
Or ordering food at the bar.
I
know you're against it, but people will go there and do that.
Why? Get a table.
I like it. I like eating at the bar.
Yeah, because you're little.
And also closer to the alcohol.
Drives me insane. My wife loves to do this. She wants to go to a bar.
It's a big city. It's a big city.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do, man.
Kimmy, I know your husband is vehemently against this, too.
Man. That we don't mind doing it if it's our only option. Like, if it's a busy spot and you can only be seated at the bar, fine. Like, we'll prefer the table, but we have eaten at the bar before.
I go bar over table every time.
It's so stupid. Hey, excuse me, are you having a good time relaxing? Allow me to intrude on all of your space I'm trying to cut my stuff.
Like, we eat apps and drinks. We don't sit there and have, like, full ass dinners.
Hey, excuse me. Can you give me the most uncomfortable chair in the joint that I can sit on without standing for 45 minutes while I eat?
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm some tall goon like you. I'm like normal to the smaller person.
You're a full
normal to small.
You're a full 4 inches shorter than the average American man.
Yeah, normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Slightly normal. Chernobyl normal.
Chernobyl normal. Is that what happened to your face?
Chernobyl.
As we're talking about the different types of bars, this Tiki Bar opening on Park Ave in June, scheduled to open. We got DMs coming in on Instagram. Brian writes us, the Country Bar is the most fun bar
to hang
out in.
Get your ass kicked at Country Bars, man.
He finishes.
Even in their own music, they beat the hell out of you.
He finishes lots of women. All right, let's talk about the Country Bar that Brian.
And the country woman that hangs out at the Country Bar.
There are two kinds of country bars that exist now.
Mm-hmm.
There are the country bars that are in the country.
Right. They're out there.
You got it. Like the juke joint kind of places that you think of, right? You walk in, floor looks like it hasn't been buffed in like 40 years.
Yeah, but the women have.
And then there's the country bars like in Fairport Country.
Those aren't country bars.
I think that's what Brian's describing.
That's a museum. That's Disney's version of country bar.
You know, there is one that's like right in the middle in Rochester. It's Nashville's on West Henrietta Road.
They've been around forever.
But I'm saying like it's not out in the country where it's scary and you don't, you know, if you walk in and they don't know you, like the record scratch.
Yeah.
But it does have a legitimate country vibe to it based on where it is.
Right.
Like I think that's the perfect medium.
All right. Say it's a safer country option.
Well, a safe is a weird way to put it because I've never felt unsafe in a country bar. Have you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Look what you're wearing.
Do I have?
Man, when I was on the road doing those gigs, man, in Kentucky, those people weren't effing around, man.
Fair enough.
Everybody had a gun.
Do I have to know how to line dance?
No.
Okay.
No, you do.
It helps.
I think you kind of do.
No, like that's why I won't go to the country bar.
Dance, stranger.
Because you're gonna if you start. Talking if you're with somebody who loves to do it, you're gonna get sucked into it.
I'm not line dancing. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to be a party pooper, but this sucks.
Yeah, I know.
If you're into it, God bless you. Okay, but here's the thing for Brian, you know, naming the country bar there, that is not one that everyone easily fits into.
No, of course not, because it's a very specific theme to it.
If you don't
going there for the theme more than anything.
Yeah. And like if you don't
there's expectations when you walk into a country bar.
How about just the fact that they will be playing country music? If you don't like country music, that is a nightmare in an evening.
And I don't know what kind of country music I'm getting.
What are you talking about?
Am I getting young country or am I getting old school?
It's always young country now, man. You don't get old school country anywhere anymore.
Yeah, see, I don't want to sit in young country.
I agree with you.
I like that old school whining and crying.
Old school.
No, it's, if I'm drinking, I want to hear something a little bit more depressing.
Okay, yeah, that works. Let's mix
that really brings up the mood.
Mix this depressant with more depressing.
No, you know, I started getting into all those old trucker tunes from the 60s and 70s.
It is weird. You have an encyclopedic knowledge of country trucker songs.
Yes, I love them, man. They tell a great story.
No, I don't disagree. It's good American history.
It is. Give me that.
But like when it comes to the country bar, if I wanted to see dudes in super skinny jeans all night long.
Yeah, you just go into your fantasies. Calgon, take me away.
Hey, Kimmy, what did that mean?
No idea.
Well, she doesn't wash her hair.
Bro, that shampoo has not existed for 40 years.
Shampoo exists in her house.
No. No shampoo.
Skylar showed up all of a sudden. I don't know.
Don't drag his poor ass into it.
Skylar's with me on this one, bud. What is wrong with me?
What did I say, man?
That got on the camera, by the way.
No, it did.
It absolutely did.
Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
This is a name you have not heard in 20 years.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that it seems completely unnecessary now, it just sold for way more money than you would have thought.
I thought it went away when everything else showed up.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Get ready for a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Napster!
Yep.
The file sharing service
that
kept Kimmy and I up to date on all kinds of music
ruined
with the
computers
wrong
computers across America.
My dad's computer still is on fire.
But that's what kicked everything off.
You got it. I mean, we all remember. If you're young, I'm sorry, we got to remember there are some people that were born like after 05 listening to it.
Yeah.
Napster, a file sharing service that kicked off free downloadable music.
And it was just one kid that figured it all out.
You got it. And we downloaded it all, and it's what made digital music sustainable because no one was paying for it.
Right, so you just went home and just started downloading music all night. You just left your computer on.
It led to the Apple iTunes library, which then led to streaming. So you can argue the reason you don't buy CDs anymore is because of Napster.
It's this kid, yeah.
You got it. Napster has just sold.
So does the kid still own it?
No. So the kid sold it in the mid-2000s.
Okay. Oh, so he did hold on to it for that long, though.
Okay, so here it goes. 25 years ago, the most notable transaction saw Best Buy purchase its remaining assets for $121 million. I'm sorry, that was in 2008. They then merged it with, remember, Rhapsody?
Yeah, there were a few at the time.
Okay. Yesterday, it sold Napster for $207 million.
Holy Christ.
To a company who is going to start, and I quote, social-first music platform where fans can directly engage with music and artists.
Hmm. Isn't that everything I already have?
Yeah, this is going to fail miserably.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, how was it operating, I guess, to this point?
Who's buying it?
Was it a subscription service? Like, how did they get away with
who's giving
the
money?
Of it?
I have no idea. I didn't even know Napster was even close.
Right. I thought they got shut down because it was illegal and all the musicians were screaming.
Yeah, or they had to change some stuff to make it not as useful anymore.
Like, so Metallica went after them, like, first. Yeah. That was, like, the first thing that made Metallica not look cool to their fans.
Lars Ulrich, drummer of Metallica.
He went all legal mind on you.
Oh, my God. And then the kid who invented Napster wore a Metallica t-shirt to the MTV Video Music Awards on stage.
Oh, I didn't.
And then they go to Lars Ulrich in the crowd, and he's like, I don't like it. Yeah, man, like, I gotta be honest, though. It was a nice, fun, nostalgic blast from the past seeing that name there.
People would come to work bragging about how much music they stole the night before. And I told you, I think the big bragging rights were how much music you now have on your phone.
You had phones with music back
then?
So
some people did.
Okay.
But not everybody, so it made you look cool. Mm. You know? Especially if you had, like, what was the first thing? The iPod.
iPod.
Yeah. Like, I knew people with iPods that had 3,000 and 4,000 tunes on them.
No, you're right. There was that golden age. It's much like in the 60s where AIDS didn't exist yet, but birth control just hit, where everyone was going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That crossover between the iPod and LimeWire and Napster still existing was the golden age for stealing.
Match made in heaven.
Oh, my God. Kimmy, I had a girlfriend that bought me one of the iPods that had video.
Oh.
It was like brand new, super expensive.
But you can only put like one video on there because of the space.
Yes. Yeah, well, I was able to download like a season of a show at a time. I had these Simpsons episodes that I would watch on the road on my iPod, and I thought I was living in Star Trek, man.
Yeah.
I bet.
Like, screen's like that big. It's like 2 inches by 3 inches. Man, look at me.
I do attribute Napster, though, to... There were some songs you downloaded where it had the wrong artist on it or the wrong song title. So for years and years and years, it took me a while to figure out, oh, that person doesn't sing that song, or that's not what that song's called at all.
There was a long time where any song that went like this was Blink-182.
Oh, yes. Okay.
There's like 10 punk bands that had hits that everyone thinks Blink-182
sounded. It's just one kid typing it in, right? Like, when he was putting that out, it was just this kid doing this.
No.
Well, that's how it started.
Right. The original Napster.
But then you could put, other people could add their stuff, and that's how it
So everybody could just
along.
Make up whatever they wanted.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, there were a couple of times where, like, I remember, like, downloading a song, and oh, hey, it's done, and you were pretty much, you're an idiot, you stupid fat jerk. It was just some guy's voice, like, just trolling the hell out of you.
Oh.
252 WCMF, 252-9263, Napster has sold this week for $207 million to a company that wants to use the technology to create a music-first platform. They're also planning on selling, Kimmy, on this music-first platform, physical and digital merch sales with AI customer service and a metaverse-like virtual space for fans to congregate for concerts or listening parties. Could you have more buzzwords that don't mean anything?
I have
in one
no
sentence?
Idea what you just said.
Okay. Yes. There is this new idea that they're trying to capitalize on.
What do they do?
Virtual concerts.
So I'm just watching it, but the concert's not even real.
So some of it can be AI or not AI. What do you call that when some of it's digital, where it's like they're performing, but you don't actually see the performing. Some of it would be an actual show,
right,
where like you put on like goggles, goggles.
Those stupid things.
There's like a subscription service to, like, because my husband loves, you know, Dead and Company and like a lot of those jam bands, and you can pay to see every concert or watch it on YouTube.
Which I feel like I'm in the audience.
Yeah, you like look around.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, does your husband pay for that?
I don't think he has. He'll wait to watch it later. But I wouldn't be surprised if he does in the future.
Tune about him. Chinsen on the internet.
No,
because you know what they'll do
too? Why would you pay for that?
If he knows that they're playing a big show, especially at one of those festivals,
yeah,
they show you like the first 5 to 10 minutes, and then it cuts out and be like, if you want to see the rest, you got to pay for it.
Pennies, hippies.
That's only the first 30 seconds of a dead song anyway. Daniel hit it perfectly. Augmented reality is what they call it.
Augmented reality. Okay.
But like, bro, you think that, you know, we were talking earlier today, Gene Simmons, Kiss, he's going on a solo tour. He's offering in every city he does a $12,000 package where you can be his assistant for the day. We were talking about where they're making money every way possible. Mm-hmm. What does it cost to attend an augmented reality concert?
Well, it's got
to
be cheap.
No, I think it's more expensive than you think.
Well, how? I'm not even there.
I understand. That's why it's so weird to me.
So they whack you hard for this.
I don't know. I mean, $20 would be whacking hard.
Can you already do it for sporting events?
There are some. The NBA did this with a couple of games last year.
Yes, did they charge people for it, or could you just log in and give it a try?
I don't know. But like,
and I got to wear that stupid thing in my head the whole time.
So the basketball one was interesting. I think it would make me sick. You would put the goggles on, and it was like you were Spike Lee. You were sitting courtside next to the scorers.
But you know, like when you're watching something, you want to get up, you got to take a score, you want to get a drink. I got to take that thing off, because I can't walk around with the goddamn thing.
No, sure you can. You go, excuse me, Spike. You step over him. Keep walking down.
Can I ask Spike to just grab it for me, or is that rude?
Spike, give me your cup. I got to pee right now. You do it right here. Now, I don't know, man. Like.
This sound like fun to me.
I am scared we're getting to a point where they're going to make tickets so expensive to concerts.
So you got to sit in your house?
And put on goggles, and they're going to bang you $30 for that.
Jesus Christ.
Right? What kind of world are we living in, Thomas?
Well, you already ruined the tiki bar for me. Now you're going to ruin the sporting event and the music.
252 WCMF. Again, Napster sold for over $200 million yesterday for reasons we do not understand, but maybe Brian does.
Oh, okay.
He's on CMF. Hey, Brian, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good. Actually, I had no idea that thing was even an account or a platform anymore. It sounds like they're trying to put together like old stuff, like live streaming music, which we've had for quite some time. I mean, even back to like Palladia. I don't know if you guys remember that on old cable and dish networks. And then, you know, virtual concerts, like with AI, like the whole Bonnaroo Tupac thing. And then if that's something you heard of. And then, what, streaming service like we've had for the last, I don't know, what, 15 years or so. But with the chance of possibly getting viruses again that blow up your phone, I don't know.
That's pretty exciting.
Okay, viruses are coming back.
Well, no, you know, Brian's naming all this stuff. MySpace, the latest version of MySpace, tried to do something similar to what this sounds like.
Okay.
Justin Timberlake was one of the investors before he got his DWI, and their plan was to make like a music central social media site, and it failed.
Miserably.
So nobody wants it.
They did try to make it. They did try to make that music based when Facebook came online. I think there's a movie from back in the day where Mark Zuckerberg, when he was coming up with the idea for Facebook, I don't know if the movie's true to life or not, but where he actually consulted the guy who created Napster regarding creating that whole site and that whole social media thing when it was first popping off.
All right, I want to stop you, Brian, because like everything you're saying, I'm enjoying this conversation. But here's what happened. Brian went into nerd voice. And when Tommy hears nerd voice, he gets very frustrated because I'm watching his face get angry. Brian,
yep, I see it. I can see it.
I'm literally staring at a Pedialyte jug.
Bitch voice theater sometime. Yep.
Brian, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Have a good day, guys.
As soon as somebody goes nerd voice,
it's so boring.
Okay, sometimes the information you need is boring.
Yeah, but that's why I don't want information.
Okay, let's take a break.